everyone. Thank you for tuning in. I've got Brandon and Jeff here from the Solid Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. Whereabouts are you guys and what time is it?
Thanks for having us. We're both in Southern Utah right now, and it's 7 p.m. right now.
Yeah, that's quite a big difference. It's 10:05 a.m. here in Perth, Australia.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah, you're a day ahead of us.
This your day ahead. Yeah, here's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Yeah.
This is how we time travel. We've officially done it.
Yeah, so give us a little bit of an introduction of who you are, what you do, and a background story as well.
All right. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Elle, for having us on. We're honored to be here with you, and I'm excited that you're listening to our podcast on the other side of the world. That's pretty cool. So Jeff and I, we recently sold our financial businesses. We both built over the last 20 years. We built financial services businesses where we help people put together financial strategies to be able to get out of debt, save for retirement, become financially independent. And in the process of that, we were both able to spend a lot of time hiring and training a lot of people over those years and developing leaders. And we actually both had several office branch locations that we opened up all over the United States. And we kind of oversaw those organizations for many, many years. And a couple of years ago, we actually sold those businesses. It's been just over 2 years ago for both of us. So, but I'll kind of back up a little bit more. That's kind of how Jeff and I came together, as we built those businesses together, sold them together. And then after we sold them, we kind of were in that in-between phase of selling the businesses that we kind of already always did. And so, I mean, for me, it was almost mistakenly, I kind of made that as my part of my identity for a while. And so when I sold my business, I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? I'm a fish out of water, you know? And I called Jeff up one day and said, hey, Jeff, you know, I think maybe we ought to, you know, we've worked with a lot of people. We've been blessed to help a lot of people with some success. They've helped us. You know, what if we write a book together? And he said, yeah, I've already written a book, actually. I just haven't published it. And so he sent me his book and I read it. I go, man, this is awesome. You need to publish it. I said, well, you don't need my help to write a book. You already wrote a book. I go, what if we do a podcast? And he said, yeah, let's do a podcast. So that's kind of how Solid started, the podcast. And we'll kind of talk more about that, I'm sure, today. But my background, I grew up in Utah, in the United States, and Northern Utah, and great parents, very blessed to have good parents. And I've got a younger sister and a younger brother. My dad was a lineman, so he worked on the telephone poles, you know, and did that for many, many years. He just recently retired a couple of years ago himself. My mom was a stay-at-home mom when I was younger, and then she went and did real estate as I got a little bit older, and she still does some real estate today. And I've got, you know, great grandparents, great, I've just been very blessed with a really good family, as far as, you know, just people that are good stand-up people. And that kind of, you know, just being raised in that has been just something that's really helped me in my life. I mean, I was taught good work ethic, treat people kindly. And so I did that. And then my wife, Lexi, she grew up in the same neighborhood as I did. In fact, we grew up about a block away from each other. So we knew each other growing up. I did serve a church mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Did that for 2 years. While I was on my mission, my wife, Lexi, I actually sent a letter home at Christmas and just said, hey, if any of you want to send a starving missionary some treats, feel free to. I was on my mission in New Jersey, which is the eastern part of the United States. She got that letter and then responded back, sent me some goodies, and wrote me a little nice little letter back. And we started writing back and forth for the last year of my mission. And then after I got home from my mission, we started dating, got married 9 months later. And then from there, we started in our financial services business. This was back in December of 2000 is when I started that business. And over the next 20 years, we built that business together. She actually, her and I partnered up She was the office manager of my business. I was more of the field trainer, and I recruited and trained people and developed people. And we just worked as a team for the first 5 years or so. And then from there, we started having kids. And then once we started having kids, she was able to be a stay-at-home mom, which she still is today. In fact, she does a lot of homeschooling today. And she's just great mother. And then, you know, I hired other office managers at that point so she could be a stay-at-home mom. And anyway, through that process, Jeff came into that. I'll let Jeff tell his story, but Jeff came into our life, 16 years ago, something like that. And Jeff was actually one of our office managers for a while. That's how he got started in my business with me. And we built a really good relationship as he was doing that. We went to lunch every day. And then he decided to build an agency himself and build a business within my agency as well, and built a business that set a bunch of records in our company. Was one of the youngest to achieve the levels that he achieved. And so through his success, it built upon my success. And anyway, that's kind of how all that worked. And then today I've got four kids. I've got a 16-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old boy, and a 6-year-old boy. So we're busy with them. They're all over the place. One of my daughters dances every night of the week, and my other daughter, she has, you know, a job. She's working all the time. She's very ambitious. And then my boys are into flag football. We do some martial arts stuff with them. And they're just good, busy, good little boys. So I tried to be as short as I could there, but that's kind of a little bit about me. So Jeff, I'll let you go.
That's great. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit about me. I grew up kind of different than Brandon. I grew up kind of on the other side of the tracks, if you will. We actually grew up in the same city, but literally on the opposite sides of the city. And I was raised by a single mom, and my mom did everything they told her to do, you know, go to school, get good grades, get an education so she can get a good job. And she did those things and just never made any money. And being one of six kids, you know, it's hard for a single mom to provide. And so I grew up, you know, in a very poverty stricken neighborhood, and my brothers and sisters were, you know, not being the greatest examples. And so my mom moved us from northern Utah, where we grew up, to southern Utah, which was a small town. This is where we live now, in a city called St. George. And she moved us here to kind of get us away from the gangs and the violence and the stuff that was happening in the city that we were in. And so we moved here, and I just started getting in fights. I was an ornery young kid, and grew up in a bad environment. And I started boxing at a young age. It really helped me a lot. I met a good man who really just started pouring into me some good work ethic and good philosophies and good principles. And it really saved me being in the boxing gym at that time. And then I got out of high school, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I started going to college. After a couple of weeks in college, I realized that the professor in college didn't have the life that I wanted. So I left college, and I was the first kid in my family to graduate high school. So you can imagine how that went over with my mom. She was not excited that I was quitting college, I was quitting college. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I started selling advertising and marketing for a living. I was doing like TV ads and radio ads and billboards and stuff like that. I loved it. But I got my pay cut. And around that time is when I met Brandon. And Brandon, like he said, he recruited me really at first to be his office manager and then eventually into financial services. And it changed my life. Got into financial services. That was, we started doing that in 2006, you know, just started building the business there. My wife and I, we met when she was 17, I was 19, and we just started dating. I was actually working for her mom. Her mom owned the advertising company I was working for, and I'd known her mom. Her mom was friends with my mom. And, so we got married young. We got married I was 21, she was 19. And we built our business together as well. And after a year of being in financial services, we moved from southern Utah, where we're from, up to Boise, Idaho. which I don't know, was about a 9-hour drive away. I don't know how many miles it was, but it was a long ways for us as young kids. We didn't have any money saved and we were just had a dream. And so we moved up there and did some awesome things. We started getting comfortable financially. And I've always believed that if you can keep yourself uncomfortable, it's a positive thing. And so we moved in 2011 to Las Vegas, and we did it all over again, and then sold our business in 2 years ago. So it'll be 2 years, well, a little over 2 years. It was 2 years in November. And so that's where we're at. I have three kids. They are 8, 6, and 4. My 8-year-old is a boy, Rome, and he plays soccer and does some martial arts stuff with us. My daughter's 6. She does gymnastics and cheer and also does martial arts. She is like a go-getter and she just loves it all. And then my 4-year-old son, he actually is just starting soccer right now. So we're busy. We're in the thick of it, but we're having a good time and just enjoying life. And then like Brandon said, we started the Solid Podcast, and we've been having a lot of fun doing that.
That's awesome. It's great how you meet people. So that's really cool. Brandon, it's funny that you said that you did your mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I actually grew up Mormon as well, so it's always interesting hearing like different stories of how people communicate while they're away on their mission, because you only have email, right?
Email. It was just actual snail mail. So that's just writing. Regular mail. Yeah.
Email didn't even have computers back then.
Yeah, that was like 1997 to 1999. So that's when I was on my mission. Yes.
Yeah, and that's awesome because Utah have the best temple in the world. So it's, yeah. You know, everyone in Australia wants to, that's a dream for us to go over and see the Salt Lake City Temple.
Yes.
So that was, that's really cool. That's really interesting, your story as well, Jeff, how, you know, you were raised by a single mother. That would have been quite difficult for her. It's always better to be raised with both parents. Kids raised without a father are 5 times more likely to go to jail than the ones that were raised with a father, and children are also more likely to be successful if raised with both parents. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see how well you've done for yourself being raised by a single mother.
I think a lot of that had to do with the environment, you know, meeting one is my boxing trainer and then meeting Brandon at a young age. You know, I looked up to Brandon so much and the environment he grew up in. And then the business we were in too, that, you know, was all about self-improvement and becoming better and living a great life and being a good example and leadership and those principles. And I just wanted to succeed so bad. And thank goodness I looked up to great men, right? Great men that had great families and I think that helped me a lot. So yeah, I always feel grateful looking back on my life. You know, now, you know, I'm 37, but I look back, you know, I'm still young, but I look back, I mean, I was only 20, 21 years old coming into financial services and, you know, being introduced to all these great men that had great families and great values. I really made such an impact. And so I'm always so grateful for that. And I think that's a big thing for Solid for us is we realize that it really doesn't matter where you come from. You can be raised in any home or, you know, but your perspective about it is everything, right? And then who do you learn from and what kind of examples do you put on a pedestal? And so I think it's been a big driver for us is realizing there can be some solid principles and help you regardless of what kind of life you started. You know, you can dictate how you finish, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You notice like these days there are a lot of, you know, young boys that are really confused as well with how they are, because they do have a lot less masculine and strong men to look up to. So it's really interesting. I couldn't believe how feminine a lot of the males are becoming these days. Yeah. Like people are being told that like somehow strong masculine men are like somehow toxic.
Yeah. I mean, well, and that's because it's more normal to have feminine men, right? So these masculine men are now standout versus it used to be weird to have feminine men, you know? And I think there's a lot of reasons for it. You know, from our diet to, you know, our environment to, you know, programming to, but I think a lot of it goes back to diet and how children are raised. You know, if people, you know, if our kids are in a good environment and they eat good, I think naturally, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can fix what's happening to men in the world today. It's just got to be a louder voice than, you know, what's happening right now. Because unfortunately, social media has given a voice to a lot of not so smart people.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, with what Jeff's saying, I mean, I think definitely the reason why I think diet is a big part of it is because, you know, our bodies have to chemically be able to work the way they were designed to work. And so, you know, throughout the last couple of decades, maybe two or three decades, you know, if you look at what the health organizations are telling us to eat, I mean, it used to be eat a low fat diet, low cholesterol diet. And a lot of those things are the opposite of what our bodies really need, you know. You know, eat meat, you know, eat, you know, be vegetarian or go towards, you know, being a vegetarian. And again, you know, opposite of what our bodies are really, what we're finding out really need. I can't remember where the study was. Joe Rogan posted it a couple of weeks ago. And it was kind of funny because it talked about how, I think it was like Lucky Charms was ranked above beef for health. Right. And so obviously if we're eating those types of things, men and women, women are not going to be able to be the feminine women they need to be, and the men are not going to be able to be the masculine men they need to be. So, I mean, God created us to be what we are, right? And if we don't take care of ourselves and take care of our bodies the way that God intended, then our bodies aren't going to work the right way. So I agree with Jeff. I think if we have that right nutrition going into our bodies, our brains work better, we function better, and we function the way that we're naturally intended to function. We have manly tendencies and desires, and women have womanly tendencies and desires, if that makes any sense.
And then
you know, I definitely, I mean, the programming out there is a whole nother dynamic of that, but I think, I don't know. I feel like if we all really, it's more challenging to eat healthy today and to stay, maybe stay healthy today because of all the processed foods that are out there. But I mean, I think it'd be very interesting if there were no processed foods. Even with all the crazy programming out there, I think people would still have their natural, you know, again, desires based on if they're male versus female. You know, that's my two cents, you know?
Yeah. 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 And speaking of diet, Jeff, you were saying that you do the carnivore diet. Are you still doing that? You said you were previously raw vegan as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy journey. In fact, we were talking today, Brandon and I was like, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know anything, right? Because 15 years ago I was a raw vegan and now it's hard to get me to eat a vegetable. And yeah, it was kind of a weird journey. Even just a couple of years ago, I wouldn't say that I was a vegan, but I would definitely say I was like leaning plant-based. I would eat meat, just not very often. And my health wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. But my wife, however, did start having some health issues. And so that's kind of what led us down this road, is my wife just started having some crazy allergy responses, all kind of, you know, different. She would swell up at her face. I always joke around. I don't know if you've ever seen Hitch with Will Smith. She would look like Hitch after she ate a meal. Her face would swell up really big. Her hands would swell up. Her knees would swell up. And it was just, it was a different reaction to a different food. And by the grace of God, we were in Florida and I had actually gotten COVID. And I just was looking for somebody who wasn't scared to let me in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. I just wanted to go into a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. So I'm calling around everywhere and you know, most people were scared. Oh, this guy's got COVID. And one lady said, hey, you can come on in. And so I went in there and talked to her. And then she had this little brochure like, hey, are you having all these symptoms? And so I just grabbed the brochure and I set up an appointment the next day to go do the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. And I brought the flyer to my wife and I said, I think this lady is going to help you. And she was like, what? Did you ask her? I go, no, I didn't ask her anything. This flyer has the answers. So I just called her and said, hey, can I bring my wife with me tomorrow so she can talk to you? And we went in there and my, we walked in and she just started telling my wife like, hey, you're, this is probably what's happening. This, my wife just started crying going, oh my gosh, how does she know? And she proceeded down this conversation in about 20 or 30 minutes to teach us about allergic responses from foods, right? And about how all foods have these histamine responses based on, you know, different foods that we eat. And I had never really heard of a histamine response from food. I mean, I knew what a histamine was, but nobody had ever told me about, like, if I eat spinach, there's an allergic response. And so I just was, she said, the reason why you're she's talking to my wife, the reason why you're having all these allergic responses, because not that your body's actually allergic to these foods. It's actually these, they're creating histamine responses. So you're having different reactions to all different kinds of food. She said, but there is a food that you're not going to have a histamine response to, and that is beef. And she said, so if you'll go get fresh beef, from the grocery store tonight and you go cook it, you won't be allergic. And my wife was depressed at this time because we couldn't find anything that she could eat and not have an allergic reaction. We would end up in the emergency room. And so we went that night, we bought a couple of ribeye steaks and we cooked them. And sure enough, she had no response. And so I just went down this rabbit hole of trying to figure out, like, why does the human body not have a histamine response to beef, but it does all these other foods. And that was, you know, down all this other stuff. And so I just decided I like to cook. And so I'm usually the one that cooks in our house. And so I just said, hey, if this works for my wife, I'm going to do it. And what I noticed is I started feeling amazing. And so I never had any health challenges, but my health wasn't, it's not like it was great or anything, but I didn't change anything. And so my wife's health started improving, but I started feeling like I was 15 or 16 again. I started feeling like I just had all this energy. I felt like I could accomplish anything. And so then I started getting my blood done. And then the results were obvious based on my blood results. Everybody told me I was crazy. I was just, and at this time I was just eating a ribeye. I was just eating enough of ribeyes every day. That's all I would eat, just ribeyes with salt. And I just started getting in great shape. I wasn't working out anymore. I wasn't working out any less, but my body composition was totally changing. And so, yeah, I haven't stopped. I started adding in some fruit for a little while. And then after probably 6 months or something, I just didn't crave it anymore. So now I pretty much eat steak and eggs. That's about what I eat.
Yeah. And do your kids eat like that as well?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we're not, so when it comes to our kids, we eat almost probably 95% of meals at home. And so, yeah, when we're at home, they eat what we eat. And then if they want to go out and someone's having pizza or something and they really want to do that, fine. It's not that big of a deal as long as the majority of their diet is good in my mind. So, yeah, but they do. They love it and they don't. You know, they don't know any different. They're young and they're super athletic. All our kids are very active and you can see it, you know, and it's sad. I was telling someone the other day, it's sad to me because my daughter's in gymnastics and cheer. And so she's a high level gymnast and she's ripped. I mean, she's 6 years old and you can just see her muscles, you know, and it's fun to see, but there's a lot of little girls that do gymnastics with her that are overweight. And these are little girls that work out every day. And it's not because they're not moving. It's not because they're not getting exercise. It's 100% because of their diet, because their lifestyle other than their diet is the same as my daughter's. And it's sad to see these little girls that are obese and it's only because of their diet. So, and my kids definitely notice, they notice and they'll say something like, hey, why is this kid overweight or why is that? And I just say, it's because of how they choose to eat, you know? And so then they'll make wiser choices. I think sometimes they'll say no to candy and stuff like that because they understand like what the impact that it could have on their body, you know?
That's awesome about your daughter doing gymnastics. Yeah, it's fun to see. Like
she's,
yeah.
She's awesome. And my son, he'll come out in the gym and lift weights with me. And, you know, it's fun that you know, that our kids, you know, watching us, you know, you talk about kids that grow up with a father. I'm watching that happen with my kids right now. You know, I didn't have a father around, but you know, they get to do these things and you know, work out and eat good and be active. And then also have someone around. I'm not scared of being controversial. My wife is like the nicest, you know, sweetest. She would never say anything to offend anybody. I'm just not like that. So I just tell my kids the truth. I just, hey, here's why. And, you know, be nice to other kids. You don't need to tell them, but it's okay to know why you're different. You know, why do you look different? Why maybe are other kids overweight, or why do they don't have the same amount of energy, or, you know, why they live different lifestyles, why they're going out to eat fast food all the time. And so I just have those conversations with them. And I think that for me as a father, it's awesome because it makes me feel like I can give my kids knowledge and empower them just to make good decisions in the future. Right now it's diet, but it could be anything else in the future, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's great. Brandon, are you doing the carnivore diet as well, or have you not tried that yet?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I'm probably, I would say 80-85% of the time. I mean, I have a steak every day. I like to hunt. That's what you see some of the animals in the background here. So I'm a hunter. I love conservation. So I have elk and deer and antelope in my freezer. So myself and my family, we eat that. We have a lot of ground meat that we, you know, we'll make tacos with or hamburgers with. But yeah, I have a steak every day. I'll do, you know, my breakfast will be eggs and like a yogurt with honey. Lunch is usually a big steak. And I kind of try to do intermittent fasting a little bit too. So I try not to eat breakfast till about 11 o'clock or noon. And then I'll eat kind of a lunch a couple hours later, and then a dinner like around 5 or 6. So, and then I try not to eat too much at all, you know, just fast between, you know, 6 PM to the next day at 11 or 12. And that seems to do a lot too. I seem to think more clearly. I think my body runs better when I do that. Days like today, Jeff and I went hunting this morning, and it's not so much like that as much when I'm hunting or something. But most days, I mean, if I'm just on a regular day, that's what I try to stick to most of the time. So I don't think you have to be perfect with it. I think as long as you're doing, you know, doing, I mean, I'm sure, right, there's different levels to everything. I'm sure if you followed it 100% strictly, there's probably another level. But for me, I want to live my life. I've got my kids, my family too. And I'll have with my steak, I'll have a couple of cookies with that just for some carbs every day. So I do that. Jeff probably doesn't do that, but I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try. I avoid sugar like the plague. I avoid sugar.
Yeah. Bone broth, collagen, those types of things are all really good to add in. I mean, they work. They do a lot for us. You know, when we get hungry, they're just a good little substitute as well.
Yeah, I heard you guys saying that you do bone broth as your protein shake.
Yeah, that's yep. That's I love it. I try to tell people, you know, they're drinking these protein shakes and there's all this stuff. I'm like, do you read what's in that package? You know. And yeah. Most people don't realize, they go, you know, you can just have bone broth. And, yeah. And if you get a good bone broth, and I mean, it's easy to get 30 or 40 or 50 grams of protein with nothing else in it. Right. And so,
yeah,
I think it's the perfect protein shake.
Yeah, I agree. But bone broth is great. We have it we have it in condensed in a little jar that we have in the fridge. And then we just like scoop out little bits and add it with hot water. It's great.
Yep. That's exactly what I do. Exactly.
I think fruit in the morning is okay. I mean, even though, I mean, sometimes I will eat fruit in the morning, and I think it's easy on your digestive system. And
I've noticed that if I do eat fruit, I have cravings.
Yeah.
One of the things I tell people when I started carnivore, the thing that I've learned is that I don't crave food. I used to crave like, oh, pizza sounds good, or sushi sounds mm-hmm. good, or mm-hmm. I used to have these cravings. And then when I stopped eating sugar, I just don't crave. Like, I still get hungry, but yeah. I don't have like a craving. And I've noticed that the less sugar that's in my diet, the less cravings I have, and the better I feel after I eat. And I think that's why at the beginning of carnivore, I did eat some fruit, and then I've just slowly just not just kind of cut it out of my diet and I just don't crave it anymore. And then now I'm just like, yeah, I feel like sugar is not good, you know?
Yeah, it's a drug. It's really interesting actually, because like when you get off all of that stuff, you notice how, like when you start speaking to other people, you notice how addicted they are to it. You know, like when I talk about going on holiday somewhere to like friends or clients and things like that, they, you know, I'll say, you know, I'm going over here, going to like this certain country or whatever. And the first thing they say to me is, oh my gosh, like, what's the food like over there? Is the food going to be good? You know, and they're talking about all like the different sweets and all that kind of thing. And I'm just like, wow, like, is that the first thing that you think of is food instead of like all the different things and activities that, you know, could be doing over there? It's, it becomes such an addiction. And it's the first thing on people's minds when they think about, you know, going out and doing something in their spare time or, yeah, on holiday. It's crazy how it just, you know, takes over, you know, your mind with things like that.
People live to eat.
Yeah, I was just doing a...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
People live to eat versus...
No, go ahead, Brandon. That's...
Yeah, versus eat to live, right? So we should be eating to live, not live to eat. And I always try to tell people too, when I'm talking to them, and I go, I want to remind you, nothing tastes as good as being fit feels, right? So before you go eat that bite of cake or that ice cream, just remember that, because nothing tastes better than being fit feels. So yeah, eat to live, don't live to eat. And just kind of, if people will remember that, you know, if they have been eating poorly, well, you just start working the other way. It doesn't take very long. And if you start eating right, the cravings, they go away fairly quickly, you know? Especially if you get motivated because you start seeing results, which you will start seeing results again pretty quickly. If you get your diet on point, your body knows what to do to get back to where it's supposed to be. And it will make those adjustments quickly if you're eating the right foods.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Yeah. And Jeff, you're saying that you did the 75 hard as well.
Yeah, I finished 75 hard on December 31st. So yeah. I kept going. I just didn't do two a day. So I have not taken a rest day this year still. Yeah, I really enjoyed 75 hard. I had some great results from it. And I think it's amazing. I think everybody should do it at some point. You know, and then it really makes living. I think the greatest thing about 75 hard is it makes living a healthy lifestyle seem easy once you're done, because, you know, you're doing two a day workouts and you're adding all this stuff and you learn you have to make that in your routine. And it's like the first 2 weeks of 75 hard are pretty easy because you can almost put off anything in your life for 2 weeks. But when you get to week 3, 4, and 5, it's like, you know, being sick shows up, you know, you can only put stuff off for so long until you have to confront the reality and the challenge of what it takes to actually complete that and then do it. Right. And then after you're done, it's like, oh, working out every day for an hour a day. That's easy. That's all I have to do is work out once today. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It's good to have that change and the discipline. I think it's really healthy to get into a routine of being disciplined, good mental exercise.
Yeah, I think, and that's why I just kept going. Like, I know Brandon's never really, I don't think, taken a rest day. He's worked out always ever since I've known him, but I was always, you know, I just want to take a rest day. I think my body needs recovery. And I always told myself that. And I think because of my diet previously, I probably did need a lot of recovery. But after doing 75 hard and taking no days off, the results were phenomenal and I felt incredible. I felt strong. I didn't want to take a rest day. And so I just kept going. I just kept working out every single day. And now I have that daily discipline of just, you know, I do a cold plunge every day. I work out every day, and just having that discipline of just doing those hard things. And falling in love with the feeling after the hard thing is what I've realized, you know, is if, you know, a lot of people are scared, like a cold plunge, right? I do a cold plunge every day. It's 39 degrees. I get in there for 3 or 4 minutes every day. And people go, oh, well, that's not for me. I could never do that. And I'm like, well, it sucks for me too, right? It's never fun to get into a cold plunge. I never look forward to entering that cold water. But what I do look forward to is the way I feel after. Like Brandon was just saying, that food never tastes as good as fit feels. It's the same way with discipline, right? When you're disciplined, it's like this reward, this dopamine high that we get from being disciplined is incredible. And I think if people would be willing to do things like 75 hard, that they would realize how good they feel. And then they start getting addicted to that feeling. I think at some basis, we're all addicts, right? We're all driven by hormones and emotions. And so if we can get addicted to positive things, if we can allow those things to drive us, then we can get some incredible results, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I saw that you did the cold plunges, the ice baths.
And you should do it. I'm telling you, you really should. I think that, yeah, I told my wife, I bought a cold plunge, cause I was doing them for about a year before I actually bought one, but it gets hot here in the summer where we're at. It's like probably 115 degrees in the summer. And so I was spending all this money on ice, trying to do ice baths every day. So I just bought one. Well, it didn't get here until winter. So it was cold. And so we just decided to do a 30-day challenge over winter so that we knew we would use this expensive ice bath that we just bought. Wow. And so we got it and we did 30 days in January, which was crazy. So the average temperature was probably in the 20s outside. And then the water was, you know, 39 degrees. So
yeah. Wow. That's a commitment.
It's awesome. I think that what it does for your skin, you know, I know like carnivore, someone who's gone carnivore and they realize, you know, they'll start getting comments about their skin and how good they look and their hair. And I think cold plunge adds to that. You start realizing like, oh my, it's incredible for your skin. It's incredible for your hair, your hormones. It's really good for your hormones. There's just so many benefits to it that, yeah, it's never comfortable, but the benefits to it are so good. It's just hard not to just continue going into the cold when you have these incredible benefits. It's like working out, right? It hurts every time, right? Yeah. And then, but when you get done and you leave the gym, you're like, I'm really glad I went to the gym today. The cold plunge feels, it's almost identical. It's the same discipline.
Yeah, no pain, no gain.
Yeah, trying to get Brandon to buy one right now.
Yeah, I do need.
Yeah, we have summer here.
What's the temperature like there right now?
So on average, we're getting we do degrees Celsius, but it's high twenties, low thirties. Sometimes it can reach mid to high thirties as well.
So that's probably
on a really hot day.
You can get Fahrenheit, like some of that. About
yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a pretty dry heat as well. It's not, you know, we have a little bit of wind if you live near the coast, but most of the time it's pretty good. It's a pretty awesome summer here.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if you start with cold showers are a good place to start.
Yeah.
And you'll notice the difference. Even if you start warm and then just do like the last minute cold for starters, you'll start to notice how you feel afterwards. Yeah. And that's a great way to work into it. And you'll like the feeling of it if you'll just make yourself do it. After that first minute, it's actually not bad. You can stand for two or three or four or even five, and it's not bad. That first minute's the most painful.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, let us know. I want to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
For sure.
One topic that I actually wanted to talk with you guys about, I because my podcast is about a God as well, and having a godly perspective and outlook on life. I just wanted to ask what your relationship with God is like. Do you guys pray? I know Brandon, you said you were from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't know if you're still a part of that or not, but yeah, if you pray and how that has an impact on your life today and how it helps.
Definitely. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And no question. I mean, I think prayer is a big part of our lives, big part of my life. I pray all the time. Definitely I'm always trying to remember that I'm God's son and I love Jesus Christ and I need to follow his example and I'm not perfect. And so I really need him because I mess up every day a bunch of times. And, but yeah, we definitely, I mean, in our home, we study out of the scriptures, every day. My wife's very diligent about making sure that we do that. That gives our family and our kids, I think, a really good foundation of how to live our lives. I think just the Christian principles that we learn and that we strive to live help us in our everyday lives. And it just gives us that direction and gives you peace, gives you joy when you follow those principles, right? And when we get off track even just a little bit, I was talking about this actually on the Solid podcast just fairly recently. If you just get a degree or two off and you stay that degree or two off for a long time, pretty soon you're way off the path, then your life's starting to fall apart and you're wondering why. So, you know, I think if we can on a daily basis just continue to, like, for me, you know, I might do my best to study the scriptures every day and say my prayers often and try to keep myself humble instead of having to be compelled to be humble. You know, anytime I start thinking I'm too cool, God will make sure to show me that I'm not that cool, right? And that I need to stay humble enough to be able to stay close to him and treat my wife the way that she deserved to be treated, my kids, and remember, you know, remember what my role is. My number one role is to be a husband and a father. You know, it's my number one calling in life. So I just try to really remember that. Sometimes that's hard to do when you're, you know, making a living and doing other things that you're trying to do to help impact other people's lives. And I've got to constantly remind myself that, hey, my number one job is to my wife, my kids. And if I put God first, then I'll automatically do the right things. Right. So that's my, you know, that's kind of how I try to live and just try to, you know, stay on the, to me, it's the Christian life isn't that difficult, right? I mean, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself and love God. And if you do those two things, you'll do all the other things the right way. So that's how I feel.
Yeah, that's great. And what about you, Jeff?
Yeah, we actually, we just recorded a podcast with, my pastor from Las Vegas. So I'm excited, for everybody to hear that, Josh Tice. And so, yeah, we still go to church. We go to church every Sunday. My wife and I are Christian. We go to a non-denominational Christian church and, we have for many years. In fact, we started going to, Southern Hills was the church that we really started committing our lives to Christ, was a church called Southern Hills in Las Vegas. And that was probably 12 or 13 years ago. And we just started, you know, really, you know, committing our lives, but also doing as much as we could to be involved with the church and people in our communities and just being a good impact and influence, and giving our money, our time, our resources, to help that church grow. And it's been exciting to see what has happened, to it over these years. We were just talking about on our podcast, we started going, there was like 150 people there. Now there's 1500 people going to that church. It's cool. And, but yeah, I think in our lives, I just always try to walk in faith. You know, so many people today are scared and I think it's because they've taken God out of their lives. They've taken God out of schools. You know, I posted on social media the other day, you see so many people complaining about public schools and it's like, well, then take your kids out of public schools. Like it's, you know, our kids are homeschooled and we homeschool them with a Christian, homeschooling program. And we love it. You know, we love that our kids are taught to pray. We love that our kids are taught how God created the world and the principles of a Christian lifestyle. And we want our kids to know these things. We want our kids to treat other people and love other people. And that people to be intrigued by their attitudes and say, man, what makes them different? Why are they so much different than everybody else? And then they start asking questions and they realize that it's Christ. And so we just try to live a life like that, that if people want to get to know us because of who we are. And then when they get to know us, they realize we're who we are because of Christ. And so we try to live that way. I give away these books a lot. They're like Bible books from a company called Alabaster. And they're just like these beautiful little books, and they're from, you know, each book of the Bible, and there's a bunch of them, and I just order them and give them away to people all the time. And I just try to encourage people in my community, read the scriptures a little bit more. I just know that for me, I grew up in a bad environment. I didn't grow up in an environment where anybody went to church. In fact, the first time I ever went to church, I was in a boxing gym, and my trainer would not let me go to the gym on Sunday. And I'm like, dude, I just want to go to the gym on Sunday. And he goes, we don't go to the gym on Sunday. We go to church on Sundays. I'm like, well, I don't go to church. I've never been to church. You know, I want to go to the gym. And he's like, no, Jeff, we don't go to the gym on Sundays. We go to church on Sunday. I go, Keith, his name is Keith. I go, Keith, what do I have to do to go to the gym on Sundays? He's like, it's not an option. I go, well, I'm just asking you what I have to do. And he goes, I'll tell you what, Jeff, if you'll start coming to church with me, I'll let you go to the gym after church. I go, done. That's all I got to do is go to church. I'm in. And so that's kind of like my introduction. The first time I ever went to church, I was probably 13, 14 years old. And that was my introduction to church. And then as I got older, I just started realizing great men like Brandon and a bunch of my mentors, all these great men, I realized the more I got to know them, they were great men because of Christ. And it wasn't how much money they made, which they all made incredible amounts of money. It wasn't, you know, they were great husbands and great fathers. But the more I got to know these men, the more I realized it was because of Christ. And that drove me to have a closer relationship and I wanted to learn. I wanted to know more about the Bible and the history of the Bible. And I'm just like, I'm a research nut. I'm always wanting to learn. And so then I go down this scientific, you know, I want to learn the science behind it and all that kind of stuff. And the more I did that, the more my faith grew. And so now I always know, you know, like that my life isn't my life. It's Christ. You know, the money, I'm just a steward of the amount of money God's blessed me with. My children, I'm just a steward to be able to raise them up and hopefully send them out into the world as good followers. And so that's kind of my, like Brandon said, I believe that I was born to be a great father. I believe that's why God created me. And I believe the best way I can be a good father is to follow the example of Christ.
Yeah, definitely. You know, growing up as someone in the church, I honestly feel like I'm a lot more forgiving towards people as well. And I have a lot of patience. Growing up in the LDS church, you have like a sacrament meeting. It's like a meeting that you have to sit in for like an hour or just over an hour. And as little kids, you know, you're taught to sit there and be quiet and listen and to be reverent. And I honestly feel like you learn a lot of good habits and a lot of good morals from being raised in an environment like that and associating yourself around, you know, similar people. It's really nice. And it's good to have your kids growing up in that as well. It's really, really good. And I feel like that's really important.
I think one of my favorite parts of the day is when, you know, we serve a meal. And one of the things I'm really fanatical about is my family eating meals together. And I love, you know, like my four-year-old, well, I'll sit down at the table and my four-year-old will just bow his head and start saying a prayer. And he's four, you know, and it's so cool just to see that. And he's just learned that through example. And he just knows. And then to see my other kids grow up, and, you know, I didn't get to grow up that way. And I think for me, it's such a blessing to know that. It makes me appreciate it in one part that I didn't grow up that way because of how much I appreciate it now, not only for my life, but also for my children, which is awesome.
Yeah. You know, that's awesome. That's really special. I love that. Husband and father obligations are a little different, in a sort of Christian household. I know you guys spoke about having like a servant mentality. What did you guys mean by that?
In life, you know, you've got to find ways to find what real truth is. Number one, I think that there's with so much information being thrown at us all the time, a lot of times through social media, there's a lot of information on social media that isn't truth, that looks like it could be truth because maybe somebody's an influential person. And so they say something and people just assume that that's truth. And I think that one thing that we've got to do a good job of is being able to find where real truth is. I believe real truth comes like from the scriptures, right? That's where we find the real truth and the real guidance of the standards that we're supposed to live, the Christian standards we're supposed to live. And so for me, that's kind of the starting point. So if I hear somebody kind of contradict those things, for me, I can feel that it's not right. I just, how do I feel about that? And if I feel, I would say the Holy Ghost. So if I feel that, I feel that that's my guiding direction to know what real truth is. So anyway, but to answer your question, you know, being a servant, you know, I guess a servant leader just in life. I mean, I think leaders, true leaders are servants, you know, and so, we talked earlier about, you know, my number one job is to be a husband and a father. And so, to be a great husband, what are ways I can serve my wife, you know, and that could be many, many ways. You know, it could be everything from the way that I show her that I appreciate her by telling her, but also like this morning, we're getting some wood flooring fixed in our house. And we had some extra pieces of wood in our garage, and Jeff and I were going hunting early. So before I left, I just grabbed some of those and put them in the house before I left. And just little things like that. She texts me, say, thank you so much. It made me feel like you were thinking about me and you love me. And so that might be one way you serve, right? Just doing little things like that. Just being mindful of our spouse. And I can, believe me, I can work on that. I'm not always that mindful. I try to be more and more. But just serving her. And then same thing with my kids. I mean, I'm their father, but how can I serve them? How can I maybe spend some time with them? Maybe I go do something that they want to go do instead of something that I want to go do and bring them with me. I mean, I do that too, but you know, what do they want to do? And go and do what they want to do and spend time with them doing something that they enjoy. And so, I think just trying to keep those things in mind is important. And believe me, I've had to learn the hard way on a lot of this stuff. You know, I don't think anybody ever really teaches you how to get married, be a father, you know, and do that. Hopefully you have examples that you can learn from, and there are some books out there you can read. You go back to the basis of the Christian principles, and it's all the answers are there of how to be a great father, how to be a great husband, how to be a great leader, how to be a great, you know, brother or sister, right, to somebody. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, and I think we get taught, you know, how to do that by, you know, going to church and being taught all these different ways of being Christ-like. And
I agree. I like what you said. I mean, you know, you go to church or you whatever. And, I mean, sometimes I talk about, hey, sometimes you find yourself doing the checklist stuff, right? I went to church, said my prayers, read my scriptures, and it's good to do that and go through the motions, but sometimes we're just going through the motions, right? And there's a difference between going through the motions, but really, and really being converted to why you're doing what you're doing and really believing in it and really having the feeling of gratitude. I'm so grateful I get to do this. And it's a feeling. It's not something you do. You can't just be grateful. You have to feel grateful. So, you know, I think that's important to remember is it's okay to be doing the checklist items while you're working on the next level, which is really being converted. And make sure I think you should keep doing the checklist items, even if you're not feeling that way, just because I think, like you say, going to church and learning how to be reverent and things like that has helped you later in life, just treat people better and be more forgiving. And I think that was really good.
Yeah. I think also I see it a lot of men. I mean, I'm sure it happens with women too. I mean, there's these like preconceived notions of roles that somebody should play in a marriage. And it's like, you see a lot of men, it's like, no, I'm going to do this, or because I make money, I expect you to do X, Y, and Z. And I just don't think that's a great way to build a team. Right. One of the things about my wife and I, you know, I'm really so grateful we have an incredible marriage. And I think a lot of that is because we learned at a young age and we built a business together where we had to learn. Like, we didn't have a choice. We had to learn together. And, you know, she was 19 and I was 21 when we got married, but we started in business when she was 18 and I was 20, you know, so we were just young kids trying to figure out life, but we were self-improving and we were getting better. But everything that we have done was always try to help each other in our lives. You know, one of the things we've always said is, I want to be the reason we succeeded, not the reason we didn't. And we kind of both have taken that, that personality where it didn't matter. And our roles have changed over the years too. You know, like when we first started our business, my wife ran the office and she would do all the paperwork and I was doing all the front end stuff. I know Brandon and Alexi were very similar in that. And then we started having kids and, you know, she wanted to be there with our kids. And so she said, I don't want to have a nanny. So we didn't have a nanny. We paid other people to clean the house and we paid people to clean the office and do the office work. And we paid people to do all the things that she didn't want to do because she paid the price for all those years of doing whatever she needed to do at that time. And so I've kind of like, you know, we talk about servant mentality. I just, for me, it's like whatever it takes for my family to be the best it can be today. And there, that role is going to change throughout, you know, relationships change throughout a cycle, right? You know, as you get older and you mature and, you know, maybe you start making some more money or you start having more kids or you have a different career. I mean, it's just natural that our roles are going to change. And I think a lot of people get stuck in these specific roles rather than having a servant mentality of saying, I'm going to play whatever role I need to play at this moment to make our family as best as it can be. And like Brandon says, you know, where we get that example from is Christ. I mean, if you really study Jesus Christ and you really try to be more like him, isn't that what we should be doing is serving not just our family, but people in our community or just little things. Like when we'll go to a hotel and we leave the room, I always have my kids turn off the lights and they're like, why does it matter, Dad? You know? And I go, it matters. Why? Because if everybody would do this, right. And if everybody treated it that way, it would lower the cost for the hotels and the hotels could lower the cost for rooms and it would be cheaper for everybody. Now I know not everybody's going to do it, but I want to set the expectations that we're going to do it, that we're going to be the best us that we can be, and that we're going to serve in whatever role we can, even though it may not look like it makes a good or a big impact right now. The personality trait that we build, the character that we build by choosing to act that way does change people's lives. And you might not know that it changes someone's life. Someone might be having a horrible day and you might hold the door open for them just because you have that servant mentality in it. It might change their whole day. Someone might have just got horrible news about their health or someone in their family, and you decide to give them a compliment and made them feel special that day. And they'll remember that forever. You might not notice that you were being that way, but they might notice it forever and remember that situation forever. And so I think just having that servant mentality, it does start in our own hearts first. And then with our families, it comes out. And then obviously when you do it as a family and, you know, you go out into the world and you start treating people that way, it makes you feel good. It makes other people feel good. And then again, I think our job is to be attractive people. And when people get close to us, they want to know what makes us different, and what makes us different is Christ. And if you can get people to be curious that way, I think that's how you change people's lives. It's not through having to tell them, but having them come to you through curiosity.
Yeah. I think, you know, people that have a relationship with Christ as well, there's just something about them. Like you can just tell as soon as you look at someone, there's just something about their presence that is different and it's intriguing. And people ask about it. You know, they say there's something about you, or there's something, you know, about your house. Like it feels so peaceful. There's just something about it. And that's a good way to start talking about it as well. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, guys. I've actually got to start work soon, so I might end the chat here. But thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you?
So we've got
the Solid Podcast. Oh, go ahead.
You go ahead. You got it down there. You do it.
We've got the Solid Podcast, so they can find, you know, any streaming major streaming service. We've got the Solid Podcast on Instagram or on social media. They can find us there. My handle is Mr. Fieldstead, Mr._Fieldstead. And then Brandon is, the real Brandon Neal, on Instagram. So if somebody wants to reach out to us there, that's probably the best place, is social media or our podcast. And so, yeah, that's the best way to reach out to us.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's really been an honor to be here with you today. And yeah, thank you for listening to us and all the way down, like I say, other side of the world. It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting. So it's good to make this connection. Look forward to doing anything we can do to help you out as well. So we may have to have you on ours if that's okay.
If yeah, you're open. That sounds great. I'd love to.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Al.
Thanks, Al. We'll see you.